A word of warning. What follows includes harrowing testimony and graphic descriptions of human rights violations.
From soul to gospel, from murderer to born-again Christian, Joe Mamasela was a big man who walked in expensive suits and drove a red BMW. He was a strange apartheid killer. He was black, and he used the Truth Commission not to plead for forgiveness, but to challenge the authorities. "I'm not applying for amnesty, so prosecute me," he said. He remained an enigma, victim and perpetrator, loving father and murderer of children. He was also regarded as the cleanest killer of them all. Zola Ntutu reports.
In all my experience in this hellhole, I have never come across a thing that is called clean killing. There is no such thing. It only exists in the mind of those who want to appear here as honest and decent gentlemen who don't want to subjugate other people into unnecessary pain. There's nothing like that. People are killed brutally. They died worse than animals. And that is a fact. And their idea is to inflict as much pain as possible. It was a sadistic, well-calculated method of killing people. And they know it, and I was part of it.
Joe Mamasela is part of the squad that beat to death three activists of the Port Elizabeth Black Civic Organization in 1985. The PEPCO 3, Sipho Ashe, Champion Galela, and Kakauli Godolozi. They are killed at the old post Chamas police station near Craydock in the Eastern Cape. Lieutenant Colonel Gideon Nivot interrogates Sipho Ashe, who tells him that the ANC stands for a democratic South Africa.
This reply, more than anything else, seemed to infuriate Lieutenant Nivot so much that he just grabbed an iron pipe and beat the poor old man several times in his head. And as he did so, all the people joined in. And the only thing he could help himself was just to scream out loud. I was then ordered by Lieutenant Nivot to stifle his screams, to put my hands in his mouth and hold it hard, so that his screams mustn't attract the neighboring farmers. Myself and Pete Mikhoi, we struggled to stifle the old man's screams, while all these others that I've named waded into the old man with kicks, punches, fists, sticks. As Lieutenant Nivot was beating the old man several times in the head with the iron pipe, I noticed that the blood was oozing from the old man's nostrils and ears, as well as the mouth. And I saw the old man's eyes turning into white pupils. They were turning. It was as if he was fainting or just about to die. The beatings went on and on until I saw the old man lying prostrate on the ground with blood all over his head and face. During the assault of Champion Golela, something brutal happened because Warrant Officer Biesler took out the testicles of Champion Golela. He squeezed them very hard until they became the size of almost golf balls. And then with his right hand, he punctured them severely, very hard. I saw the man changing the color of his face, becoming pale and bluish. And there was some yellowish liquid that spurted out from his genitals. And that was the most brutal thing I've ever witnessed in all my life of hell in Flag Plus. I stayed for a long time in this devil's belly. I know how it looks like. But I've never seen anything like this in all my life as a prisoner of war of these people. I've never seen anything like that. It was the most dehumanizing experience of my life.
In 1981, Jomo Mamasela is plunged into the belly of the devil, as he puts it. Mamasela and his fellow askari stabbed to death Durban-based human rights lawyer Griffith Mxenge. But Mxenge was innocent, says Mamasela.
Tell me, Mr. Mamasela.
Quibus Boyens.
If Mr. Mxenge, you regarded Mr. Mxenge as an innocent person, why did you take part in his killing?
I was just a mere askari, and askari is a prisoner of war. I was just told to do things. Askaris, we expected to carry out instructions, not to question them. If you question the instructions, you get killed. Well, so I had no alternative but to do as I was told.
This man that regarded Mr. Griffiths and Nanga as a complete innocent, the man is an attorney. He's well known in Durban. Why didn't you warn him that people are plotting to kill him?
Oh my God, there we go again. I couldn't warn Mr. Mxenge. I did not even know of his existence prior to my getting to Durban. I didn't even know him. I was just whisked to Durban. I was given the photos, I was showed the photos, and they said, kill the man, and then we killed him. No. There was nothing I could do.
You could pick up a telephone and warn the man.
Telephone where? From the police station.
In the big city of Durban, there are no public telephones.
Mr. Boyens, don't talk like a foreigner. You are a South African and a white South African for that matter. And you know for a fact that during those days, black people were at the mercy of white people. There was nothing I could do. Even the police standing order was clear that a white man, by virtue of his pigmentation, was my boss.
Joe Mamasela also lures 9 township youth from Mamelodi in Pretoria to a house in the former homeland of Kwandebele. Those boys too were innocent, says Mamasela, of the youth known as the Kwandebele Nine.
In the Kwandebele Nine, the people were ambushed in a house and they were shot, all 9 of them. They were shot and massacred with AK-47s. And then one Lieutenant Herter, he came with a big 25 liter of petrol. He poured in all these corpses and then he lit the fire, and some of the people there were still alive. You could hear the shrill screams, and they were all incinerated.